Is it well with your soul? I think the Apostle Paul could sing that song. Maybe he was singing that in his days too. And so we're going to look at that a little bit this morning in Acts chapter 20. If you got your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 20. Maybe a familiar passage to some of you. If so, you'll know where it's at. And so turn over to Acts chapter 20, where we're going to be at this morning. While you're looking, we're excited and want to congratulate our graduates this morning and their accomplishments and achievements. And we're thankful that your families have come to share with you this morning. So if you're here visiting, again, we thank you for coming and loving on our graduates. And we're excited for them and what God has in store for them, the ways that he's already been using them, and the things that he has for them in the future. And so we're excited about that. And some of our text this morning, I think, is applicable to that. And for our graduates, as they kind of close out a chapter of their lives and maybe begin a new chapter, and not just for our graduates, but we can all say that each and every day we kind of close out a chapter in our lives, don't we? And every morning is a new morning, and so we're thankful for that and thankful for them. And so we come here to Acts chapter 20. Title of our message this morning is Farewell and Stay Faithful. And so we're not saying farewell to our graduates, right? We want you to stay around here if that's where the Lord sends you and uses you. We want you to stay here close to where GBC, and we can continue to love on you and see how God uses you in our community. But Paul here, Paul is saying farewell to a group of people that he loves and is sends some encouragement here. Through that, he just says to continue to stay faithful in the days ahead. And so our main point this morning we want to look at, as Christians, we are called to live a life that points to Christ and proclaims Christ. And so if you're a note taker, you can write that down again. As Christians, we are called to live a life that points to Christ and proclaims Christ. So would you pray with me? Father, we thank you, God, for the blessed opportunity, God, we have to be in your house, to be with your people, but God, just to hear your word. What a gift, the living word of God to a sinful people. So, Lord, help us today. Open our eyes, God, that we may behold wondrous things from your law. God, we may leave this place and share the hope of the gospel with people around us. Lord, we love you and we thank you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we're here in the book of Acts, and we've been studying through Acts with our Wednesday night crew and youth there. And so we finally made it to the Acts chapter 20. It's been a long journey. And as we've been through Acts, we have seen several names. Lots of people. We've seen several places. Man, Paul and the other apostles, man, they're just continually moving about sharing the gospel and doing the work of the Lord. And so throughout the book of Acts, you're going to continue to see a lot of names, a lot of places, a lot of times, a lot of movement, a lot of miles that have been done. Just people being faithful here in their walk. And so we're going to see some more of that this morning. This is actually Paul's third missionary journey. He's been going around. He's been collecting and offering, getting ready to take back to Jerusalem. And you're going to see some of that here in this text, maybe next week, about where he's desiring to get back to Jerusalem, to share some of that offering with them and to help them in the ministry. And so, but to here, we're going to be in a place called Miletus. And so we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 20, look at verse 13. It says, but going ahead to the ship. And so if you look back, Paul has been in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. He's ministered there for several years, about 3 years roughly. There comes this riot, and the Lord brings him out of that area, takes him out, and begins to move him to some new areas to share. And so here, this is a little bit later, 3 or 4 months later. They've been there at Ephesus. They've ministered, and now God is again has continued to move him throughout. He says, but going ahead to the ship, we set sail for Assos. And so who is the we here? Who is the writer of the book of Acts? God, right? No, James, he's always there to correct me. But all right, so this morning, who is the writer, the penner, the penman? Luke, there we go. I was hoping some of our youth might get. I've tried to instill that into them. And so we're talking a lot about Paul, and a lot of the account of the book of Acts is about Paul and Peter and others. But it is written or penned by Luke. And so Luke, the physician here, he writes, he says, we set sail. So Luke is a first-hand account. He's there. He's walking with Paul. He's sailing, man. He is on a journey. He has seen a lot of things. And so, man, he's not only a physician, but he's a good writer here. And he pens a lot of this stuff down, just kind of his travel log. And there's a lot happening. And he says, we're going to see some more here. There's some others that's with him. But Luke here writes, and they set sail, intending to take Paul aboard there. For so he had arranged, intending himself to go by land. And so they get a ship ready, but Paul says, no, I'm going to walk. I'm going to spend some time with the Lord in prayer and meditation and focus, because he is heading, right, to Jerusalem. But he's getting ready to deliver a message to the elders of Ephesus. And so Paul wants some alone time. Let me ask you, are you spending time alone with the Lord? We live in a very busy time, a lot of distractions, man, even in here today. There's distractions and things that want to pull us away from our time with the Lord. Do you guard that time? Paul did, and it cost him a little bit of extra exercise. Maybe he was interested in getting some exercise. But here he takes time to spend some time with the Lord, preparing for what he has for him. And so he says, and verse 14, and when he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and went to Mytilene, and I may not pronounce all these words right. You can say them better. That's good. In verse 15, and sailing from there, we came to the following day opposite of Chios. The next day we touched at Samos, and the day after that we went to Miletus. And so, again, that's kind of where we're going to settle out here today, where Paul lands at. And there in verse 16, it says, for Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he might not have to spend time in Asia or modern-day Turkey, for he was hastening to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. And was he trying to avoid what was going on there at Ephesus, some of those rites? Was he scared to go back? I don't think so. I think Paul was just being faithful to what God is calling him to do, to head to Jerusalem, it says here. And he knows that he loves those people at Ephesus. And he knows if he goes, he's going to probably stay a little longer than he needs to, because he's going to continue to pour into them. And so he decides, being led by the Spirit, again, to go past that. If you think about that, when we say yes to one thing, we say no to something else, don't we? And that's hard. Again, we're busy people. We talked about that the other night, Brother Adam. There's a lot going on in our lives, and so we have to discern. But Paul here is discerning in the Spirit that that's where God is sending him. And so he's being faithful in that time. And so he doesn't want to leave those people alone there. And he knows if he goes, he's going to stay longer. Lindsay tells me that sometimes when I go somewhere, she says, don't stay too long. I know you want to talk and do things. Paul has that same desire to love on those people. But he's hastening, right? Or he's desiring. He has a desire to be back at Jerusalem, sharing with those people. And Paul knows that his time is valuable. I'm reminded of Psalms chapter 90, verse 12. It says, so teach us the number of days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And that's hard, isn't it? A lot of days we just run through life, just whatever happens. But Paul here is ordering his days. He's hastening. He's desiring to be there. And he's desiring the things of the Lord. It is well with my soul. They sang that a minute ago. Man, that's some hard things sometimes, because we don't know exactly what all is in there, though Satan may buffet. And Paul's going to see some of that and share some of that here in a few minutes. But he's delighting in the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's what Paul is doing. He's desiring, he's hastening to be in the will of God. And that's where his delight is. And so he's delighting, he's desiring, and he's heading to Jerusalem, following faithfully what God has set for him. What are your desires? Are they self-centered, self-seeking? Or are they Christ-centered and Christ-seeking? Paul here is desiring God's will for his life. And again, he's headed back to Jerusalem. Acts chapter 1 says, man, it talks about you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And so again, it's kind of coming back. He's coming back to that area to share with them. And so here, he comes to Miletus in verse 17. This is where we're going to start. Verse 17, now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church to come to him. Again, Paul knows that he don't have time to go back to the church there at Ephesus and to pour into them like he wants to, but he knows God is sending him somewhere else. But God has also raised up a group of men here, and the Bible refers to them as elders. And we don't have time to go over all that today, but there's a lot of that word mentioned throughout the Bible. If you look in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus chapter 1, it shares about what that looks like as a role as an elder in the church. And so these men are the leaders, the overseers, the pastors, the church leaders here. And Paul wants to pour into them so they can go back and pour into the church and lead it well. And so Paul calls for them. It's about a 30-mile trek down south from Ephesus down to Miletus. So they didn't have Zoom calls. They didn't have FaceTime and all that stuff. That would have been a lot easier, wouldn't it? They could just picked up a phone. But these guys, man, they desired to hear that. They desired to have Paul's teachings. And so they go 30 miles down to meet Paul there at Miletus. And we're going to see here how Paul encourages them to live a life that points to Christ and also proclaim Christ. He does it in three different ways here. He says in the first way, learn from the past. Learn from the past. He says in verse 18, and when they came to him, he said to them, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia. Paul was a ball of fire, wasn't he? He didn't come in slow and work his way up, but he come in set on serving the Lord. And there in those 3 years, that's what he did faithfully from the very first day he got there, from the time he left. Verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both of the Jews and of the Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, guys, look at my life. You yourselves know I've lived there 3 years with you guys pouring in, and you have seen my life. You've seen my mannerism. You've seen my desires, my faithfulness in Ephesus for those 3 years. And he shares with them about that and just reminds them that from the very first time, man, he is there. He's been faithful. And he does it. He's got a motive in that, right? He's not just there just showing off. Paul's there to minister. And his motive for doing that, we see it in verse 19. He's serving the Lord. Right? That's what God has called us to do, to serve the Lord. And we're going to see, man, here in a little bit later, we've all got a little different call in that. But God has called him, and he is there faithful, motivated to serve the Lord. What does that look like? Looks different for all of us, but the calling is still the same. So he serves the Lord. He also does it, what kind of manner? He says, well, with humility. He is a humble servant of the Lord. He's not boastful. Paul had all the much reason to boast in all his education, his background, his upbringing, all the things that he had accomplished, but he doesn't. He boasts in the Lord. He's doing it in a humble way. He also says he is ministering, serving the Lord here at Ephesus for those years with tears. I believe Paul had a love for the Lord, man, just a passion to serve the Lord and to serve the church. And he does it with showing just that compassion here of tears and trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. If you read through Paul's life and his journeys and all the different things, man, he lived a pretty hard time serving the Lord, doesn't he? God doesn't promise it's always going to be an easy road. He was stoned, he was beaten, hungry, left for dead, travel fatigue, all those things that comes with it, shunned by people that once was probably his friends. But he continues through all those trials, faithfully serving the Lord. So he's got his motive, his manner, and he also comes with his message. Look in verse 20. He says, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house. So Paul, man, he had the message, right? Not just his motives, not just his life, but also his message. But he also reminds them, like, guys, you know me as a person. You knew my daily life. You saw me living with and amongst you. And you know that you can trust my message because you can trust my character and my integrity. So how about you? Is your words lining up together? It's not just about sitting in the pews on Sunday morning, but our lives, and we're going to see that a little bit later too, but our lives point to Christ, but also our message and our words should also. And Paul's saying he's done that. He declared faithfully in public and from house to house. And probably at that time, the churches, they hadn't built churches like we have today. And so he's not saying just worship at home. That's a great place to worship. And if you're not able to be in the house of God with other believers for whatever reason, it's a great place to worship, but I believe God has called us to come together as a congregation and to worship together. But Paul says here, that's where they were meeting in those times. They were meeting in the houses. They were meeting in public at times, and he's just sharing faithfully about God's word, about declaring the message. So what is the message? Verse 21, he says he's testifying to Jews and the Greeks of repentance towards who? To God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knows, he writes in Romans chapter 3, there's a whole lot in there, just talking about, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Paul recognizes that Greeks and Jews and us and all people of all time are sinners in need of a Savior. And he calls them to repentance towards God. God is holy, perfect, and righteous in every way, and we are not in every other way. And so Paul reminds them here of the message that he proclaimed to them of repentance, turning away from those sinful ways and turning to God and his ways. And so Paul calls them to that. But it's through who? Through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of your works. Paul's not saying all this stuff, man, you can do all the right things. You can turn away from sin. You can live a good way. But it's through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And so, again, Paul is just continuing to testify. He's continuing to declare what he's taught them in the past. That message has not changed. And he's encouraging them to continue in that also. So they can learn from the past, but also they can look at the present. Look at verse 22. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone out proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Paul says, not only there in the past, but man, look at the future. Look at what's going on here. And he says he is just constrained. That's an odd word. We don't use that word a whole lot. But if you look at it, just kind of that bounding, you think about a prisoner maybe constrained by chains or whatever. Paul's not saying that he doesn't want to do what God's called him to do. But he has such a call on his life that Paul says, I relinquish all control. I give that over to God. And man, I want to be following him faithfully, following, constrained by the Spirit. He says, not knowing what will happen to me. I wrote down a song. I think it may be in our hymnals. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And that's a lot easier to sing here in the sanctuary on Sunday mornings than it is when Paul here, man, he don't know what's going to happen to him. I think he knows kind of that overall picture of what's happening and what's going to happen eventually. But he's willing to give up everything and trust and obey, not knowing. But he does know. Look at verse 23. Except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me that in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. He knows there's hard times coming, but he says that's okay. God's going to take care of that too. The good times and the bad times. But where does he come from? Look at verse 24. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I've received from the Lord Jesus. And so Paul says, man, he can look here. You guys can look at the present. You elders, look here at what's going on. He says, I trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3. I know a lot of people, graduates and different things, post that. They'll put it on their hats, put it on different places. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not in thine own understanding, but acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct your paths. And so here, Paul knows that, and he's not saying, man, his life is not of any value, is he? But he's saying that, man, it's precious because of Christ and his value in Christ. Paul's not saying he has no worth, he has no value, but his worth and his value comes from the perspective of Christ. So I want to ask you this morning, where do you find your worth? Where do you find your value, or who do you find it in? Is it in your job? Is it your health? Your finances, relationships, grades, and all those things are great and they're gifts from God and all those things. But to be honest, those things will fade and they'll perish, right? I got some things that hurt now that used to didn't hurt. And so, man, when we count on those things, they'll eventually leave us high and dry. But Paul says, man, I don't count any of that as any value, but to give my life wholly to Christ. think is what Jesus talks about. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, you can jot that down and look at it later. He said, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life or forfeit, whoever loses his life will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" Paul's just saying, man, I trust God with all that, with my whole life, and I count it as no value apart from Christ. And so I want to be all in for Christ. But Jesus doesn't call us to deny ourselves. He calls us to deny ourselves, but not to neglect ourselves, does he? And so Paul, again, he takes care of himself the best he can, but he is sold out and sold all truly to Christ. And so Paul uses some words here to describe what it looks like here in the present to serve the Lord. Verse 24, he says, "But I do not account my life." And so kind of as an accountant, kind of that weighing scale, you have to weigh it out, right? The value of this life versus the value of life eternal to come. Paul knows that value, but he also says that he's a runner. "If only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus." So Paul talks about being a runner, right? He's pressing forward, pressing on towards the mark. And he talks about my course. I think that's unique and important there. Paul says that my course. Paul's, I think, helping us to understand that we need to stay in our lane, don't we? Paul's saying, man, a lot of times you guys are worrying about other people and what's going on in their lives, what they need to be doing, but you need to be focused upon what God has called you to do. Be faithful where God has called you to. Don't be worrying about what everybody else is doing. Where does God want to use you at? Where is your course? Where is your lane? Right where you're at, right? God has placed you there, placed you in that family, placed you in that school, placed you in that job site, and your course is unique to you. Now, our paths sometimes cross, but your path, your course here is unique. So serve him well where you're at. Be a good runner. He's an accountant, a runner, and he's also a steward. Look at that. "That I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus Christ." This wasn't Paul's idea, right? He was headed to Damascus to persecute the Christians, and God comes to him and calls him out of that life and calls him in to ministry, and he receives it. So he's a steward. God has given him that gift to use, and so he stewards it well. But he's also a witness, he says there in 24. To testify of the gospel of the grace of God. What is God's grace? God giving us what we don't deserve, right? Paul talks about it in Romans 5, but God demonstrates his own love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you're banking on your good works, you're going to come up empty. Because Christ says, and God says, Paul says, Luke says here that it is based on the gospel of the grace of God. It is nothing we can earn or do enough good works to do, but it is simply by his grace. And so Paul says that you can rest in that. And he says also that he is a herald. Look at verse 25. "And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone out proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again." Paul's just proclaiming it with his words. He's heralding, or he's announcing here what is to come. And he's also a watchman, kind of a reference here in verse 26. He says, verse 26, "Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." Kind of a reference back to Ezekiel chapter 3, where he talks about there being a watchman and the blood being upon his hands or not, if he has been faithful to teach and preach. So look that up sometime. But Paul saying, man, I was faithful in that. I am faithful, and I'm going to continue because I don't want that blood on my hands. Are we being faithful to share, to proclaim, to be a herald? Are we faithful stewards? Are we faithful runners? Paul says here that he is, and they can trust in that. Verse 27, "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." Brother Adam led us in confession a while ago. Can I confess, when I started in youth ministry, I didn't know what I was doing. I still don't know what I'm doing. But a lot of times I would just try to find some kind of topic or something I thought would sound good to them, would get their attention or whatever. But Paul says here to preach the whole counsel of God. So I think it's important that we're working through scriptures, verse by verse, word for word, and you take into account all the counsel of God that way. You're not skipping over. The world needs to hear the whole counsel of God. And my fear is that a lot of pastors and a lot of preachers are not doing that right now. We can see a lot of that coming through in our society today. They're picking and choosing and making it work for people. And that's not good. So let me encourage you today to be praying for Pastor Kenny as he starts. I think May 26th, he will be here to preach the counsel of God. And so be praying for him that each time he stands in this pulpit, that he will proclaim the whole counsel of God faithfully. And that same thing for every person who ever stands in the pulpit. We got all kinds of ministers who are faithfully preaching God's word, and I'm thankful for this area. But be lifting them up and praying for them. They need it, that they will preach sound doctrine, the whole counsel of God. Blake, thank you, brother. You served faithfully here for several years, and you did that well. So thank you. We are a blessed church, and so we take a lot of that for granted. But Paul says that you can learn from the past, you can look at the present, but also that you can lean into the future. Look at verse 28. He says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to take care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things, and to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. 32, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Paul says to these elders, for these leaders, for these overseers, these pastors, these bishops, he calls them to pay careful attention to yourselves. If you are in here and you tend much flock or cattle or crops or whatever, is there any days you just don't feel like going to the field? Some days you just tired more. I remember this winter, it was cold. There was about a week there that was rough. And we fooled with some cows, and it just wasn't that much fun. And if you don't feel good, it's even that much worse. Man, you got to go out and be in all that mess and muck and all that stuff. But if you don't feel good, you just don't feel like doing anything. And that's why I think Paul here, he says to these elders, he says, pay careful attention to yourselves. If you're not healthy, how are you going to take care of the flock? And he says, pay careful attention to yourselves. What does that look like? I think one is just spiritual health, spiritual vitality. Paul's talking here to the elders and the leaders, but I think that goes for each one of us, right? Young people, take care of your spiritual health. Old people, take care of your spiritual health. If you're not spiritually healthy, you're not going to be able to help and to minister and serve where and what God has called you to do. So, how are you doing with your prayer time, your Bible reading, your stewardship, your giving, your ministering, your evangelism, fasting, all those things, spiritual disciplines? How are you doing spiritually? What about physical health? We was talking about that Wednesday night. Adam was talking about, man, I want to go home and do some walking. It's good to get out and get some exercise, right? If we don't feel good physically, how good are we going to be able to accomplish what God's called us to do? Maybe that's some doctor's visits, some things that we need to take care of to help take care of our physical health. What about marriages? Right? Marriages, relationships, are they God-honoring? Are you serving and leading your families well, leading your spouse well? How healthy are your relationships? Mental health, man, if we're busy, tired, and all that stuff mentally, we just get drained. If we're not where we need to be, we're not going to be able to minister well either. And financially, just broke. And sometimes that causes us to leave things that God's called us to do. And so, again, how do you know if you're healthy in any of these areas? Are you sick? Are you cold to the people around you? Are you tired? Are you mad, irritable, broke, busted, and disgusted? Maybe that's a place you need to work on, paying attention to yourselves. Young people, let me encourage you in those areas, man. Just pay careful attention to yourselves. There's a lot of other areas we could cover, but pay close attention to yourselves. And then to the flock. Paul knows, man, they've got a hard road and a hard job ahead of them. Again, be praying for Pastor Kenny as he comes, as he begins to care for the flock here at Greensburg Baptist. We'll be lifting him up. Because it is, man, look what he says here. Don't underestimate the importance of the church. He says here, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. This is no small task. This is a calling from the Holy Spirit, a calling from God to care for the church or the bride of God, which he obtained, or Jesus obtained, with his own blood. It's pretty precious to Christ, right? So thus it should be here. And Paul encourages them, man, to be reminded that Christ gave his blood for the church. Minister well. He says, I know, in verse 29, that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. That's been Satan's tactics all along. If you start back in the Genesis there, in the garden with Adam and Eve, he twisted the scriptures then, and the same things now. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's the same thing. His plans and all his tactics have not changed. And therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish you, every one of you, with tears. In verse 32, kind of where he closes, he says, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Paul says, fellas, I've done my part. I'm going to continue to do my part, and I encourage you to. But I've been faithful, I've taught you, I've poured into you, I've run my course, but ultimately it is a work of God in your life that will encourage you, will empower you to do what God has called you to do. And Paul says, man, I just commend you to God and to the word of his grace. He knows that that will be sufficient to take care of all the needs of these brothers as they go back and serve. Young people, graduates, it's the same for you. You can trust in God, and you can trust in his word and rely upon his grace to guide you and empower you and strengthen you to live a life that points to Christ and to proclaim Christ. And he finishes up, I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. And I believe Paul is just reminding here, use what God's given you to love on and minister to those around you. He'll be faithful. You be faithful. In verse 36, kind of a hard, tough time for him, wasn't it? He says, and when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. Some tough times here. And Paul was leaving some brothers that he loved, he had spent time with, he had developed those relationships, and man, he loved these people. But this is not the end of Paul's life, just a chapter. And so this chapter was closing, but we're going to look maybe some more later on. There's some new things that are coming. Paul is always in exciting times because he is faithfully serving the Lord, and there's much more to come. And so this morning as we close, I want to ask graduates, at the end of this chapter, some of you have already started a new chapter. Some are getting ready to. I want to encourage you to be faithful, just to whatever God calls you to do, to be faithful, to run your course well. To look, God has placed a lot of good examples around you of what it looks like to have walked faithfully with the Lord. He's got several in your lives now. Continue to look at those, to look and learn, and then to lean into him and what he has for you. Unbeliever here this morning, I want to encourage you. Paul was a guy once that was named Saul. He was not a guy who was living for the Lord. And God revealed his grace and his mercy to him on a road to Damascus. And Paul accepted that and he received that. And man, God transformed and changed his life. And he wants to do the same for you. Believer, if you're here this morning, are there any areas in your life that you need to surrender to the Lord? Maybe the past things? Man, you've just not been that example. Maybe here in your home as a father, a mother, maybe you've not lived that example before your children. Maybe there's things in your life right now that are hindering you from running your course. Maybe you need to confess those and entrust those to the Lord this morning. Or maybe you're here this morning and you don't know what's coming in the future. Paul didn't know, but he trusted whatever was ahead. Church, we are stepping into a new season of life here at Greensburg Baptist Church. Mentioned earlier, Brother Kenny should be here 26. Be praying for him. He's got surgery tomorrow on his neck. Just pray that all that goes well. But pray most of all that he will faithfully display the whole counsel of God each and every time he stands in the pulpit. And may we always be reminded of the importance of the church to serve faithfully. It is not just his role. It is all our role to serve and to minister well and to minister together here. May we always be about building one another up and doing our part to care for the church of God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for Paul, God, just his life that he lived faithfully to the end. Even when it didn't make sense, he couldn't see very far in the future what it looked like, but he could see you always ahead of him, leading him. And so, God, I thank you for his faithfulness, for his example. And I thank you for his call on our lives to do the same, God, to live a life that points to you and to proclaim you each and every moment of our lives with our words and with our deeds. God, again, we thank you for your word, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.